Tonight's reading is Proverbs 6, verses 6 to 11, which can be found on page 531 of the Church Bible. That's Proverbs 6, starting at verse 6. Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise, without having any child, officer, or ruler. She prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. This is the word of the Lord.
Good evening. Thanks, Nick. Thanks, Johnny. If you've got your Bible with you, it'd be good if you could keep it open at Proverbs chapter 6, please. As Johnny says, we're going to be continuing our series in the book of Proverbs this evening. And tonight we're looking at chapter 6. I think it has been a really good series, as Johnny said. I think it has been a very practical series. But I think it would have made sense if I had been given the subject that Dan was given a few weeks ago, which was parents and children from the book of Proverbs, because Dan reminded us of that verse in chapter 23, verse 13, which says, "Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him, he will not die." And I am actually living proof of that verse. I think my dad saw that verse as a bit of an invitation, but I'm here to testify that it is true. But our subject this evening is actually work and idleness from the book of Proverbs. Work and idleness. And I just want to say a couple of things really from the outset before we get started. And the first thing is that for reasons that I don't think we can really understand, God has ordained that some people are not able to work. And some people are only able to do a certain amount of work before they get exhausted. And so whatever I say tonight about working hard or working harder than we already are, I hope that you will have the discernment to know what applies to you. And the second thing that I really want to say just from the outset is that Jesus talked a little bit about our work in John's Gospel. He said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." And I really just want to point out that I'm not going to be focusing really on that work that we do as a Christian. I think we refer to it a lot from the platform here at St. John's. And when I saw the title, Work and Idleness, I really thought I should focus on what we consider our regular jobs. For most of us, what is our regular Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, if you like. So that's what I'm going to be focusing on this evening. And again, I'll really just be touching on these verses from Proverbs chapter 6, using it as a bit of a launch pad, and we'll be jumping all over the Bible tonight, so I hope you don't mind that. But before we turn to God's word, let's just bow before him in a word of prayer. Father, we recognize that every good thing comes from your hand, and we thank you for this, another day. We thank you for everything that the day has brought. We thank you for the service of thanksgiving that we were able to have this morning. It was great to see the church full. I pray that what we heard from your word from Bishop Keith, that it would remain with us. And Father, as we turn to your word this evening, we give you thanks for it. I thank you for the privilege that it is to preach from your word. And I just pray that you would help me to speak clearly. I ask that I might speak in the power of the Holy Spirit, that through the preaching of your word, you would be molding us more and more into the image of your Son. And it's for his sake and for your glory that I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 6 here, we're introduced to the sluggard. Now, the sluggard is mentioned on quite a few occasions in the book of Proverbs, and really none of it is complimentary. And here we can see that, for example, the sluggard is lazy. You see that in verse 9. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? But the sluggard responds, oh, just a little more sleep, just a little more slumber. I just want a few more minutes of rest. You see, the sluggard is lazy. And the sluggard is someone who's always making excuses. And the best of these excuses is to be found in Proverbs 22, where the sluggard says, there's a lion outside. I shall be killed in the streets. Now, when I'm driving into work in the morning, I hate it when I hear my mobile phone ring, because I know that it's going to be someone in my team telling me that they can't come to work today. You know, and it's usually a sore head or a sore stomach, or it might be that the trains are cancelled or they have to look after the kids. But I've never heard this one before. Nobody has ever said, I can't come to work today because there's a lion outside. That would be quite an original excuse. But that's what the sluggard does. They make excuses for not working. You know, one of my favourite poems is a poem called Tomorrow. And I think actually that I did share it with you a few years ago, but it's a poem all about a procrastinator. It's really a poem all about the sluggard. And so in this poem called Tomorrow, the poet says this about the sluggard. He said, he was going to be all that a good man should be tomorrow. No one would be kinder or braver than he tomorrow. A friend who was troubled and weary, he knew, who'd be glad of a lift and who needed it too. On him he would call and see what he could do tomorrow. Each morning he stacked up the letters he'd write tomorrow and thought of the folks that he would fill with delight tomorrow. It was too bad indeed that he was busy today and didn't have a minute to stop in his way. More time he would give to others, he'd say, tomorrow. The greatest of workers this man would have been tomorrow. The world would have known him had he ever seen tomorrow. But the fact is he died and he faded from view. And all that he left here when living was through was a mountain of things he intended to do tomorrow. I wonder if you can see yourself in there. I know that I certainly can. It's easy to make excuses, isn't it? It's easy to put things off until tomorrow. I think there's a sluggard inside all of us. So what then should the sluggard do? Well, according to Solomon, the sluggard is to go to the ant and to take some notes. And I think there's a lesson in there for some of us. Because some of us like to study big, important things. I think some of us would say, well, I'll go and consult John Calvin and see what he has to say on the subject of work. I'll go to Martin Luther and see what he has to say on the subject of work. Maybe I'll go to Tim Keller and listen to what he's got to say about work. But wisdom says, well, all you actually need to do is go to the ant. Watch the ant, because she's a great worker. She has that inner drive. She has that inner motivation. You see it in verse 7. It says, without having any chief or any officer or any ruler, the ant gets to work. Because she has that sense of motivation. She has that inner drive. And I think if we are going to share that same sense of motivation, if we are going to have that inner drive, then we probably need to change our whole attitude towards work. Because do you know that work is actually a good thing? Work is a good thing. When you read through the first couple of chapters of Genesis, Johnny alluded to this. This is before sin has entered into the world. You'll see God at work and you'll see man at work. And I can't imagine in those days that, you know, Adam would come along and say to Eve, how are you, dear? And she'd say, oh, not bad for a Monday. I don't believe that happened. Now, this is before the fall and there was work. And so work must be a good thing. And it wasn't just in the Garden of Eden. I've got reason to believe that we'll be working in heaven. Do you know that? Because Isaiah talks about the fact that there will be plowshares and pruning hooks in heaven. Now, why would we need plowshares and pruning hooks if we're not going to be working? So there was work in the Garden of Eden. I think there'll be work in the new creation. So we can see that work is a good thing. But some of you maybe need to be reminded of the value of your work. You need to be reminded of the value of your work. And this is where I didn't take my own advice, because I found Martin Luther to be very helpful here. And so I did consult Luther rather than just looking at the ant. But Luther talks about the fact that in Psalm 136, the psalmist says that God feeds every living thing. God feeds every living thing. So when you eat, it was God that gave you that food. But of course, we know that the food just doesn't appear on the plate in front of us. Someone had to grow it, and someone prepared it, and someone packaged it, and someone had to drive it to the supermarket, and so on and so on. And Martin Luther actually says that these people are the fingers of God. They are the fingers of God because God cares for his creation through human labor. He points out some other examples. In Psalm 147, the psalmist says that God strengthens the bars of your gates. God strengthens the bars of your gates, which was really just another way of God of saying that God keeps your city safe. So whether it be policemen or lawyers or nurses and doctors or parents, anyone who is really looking to keep other people safe, they are doing the work of God. In Isaiah 54, the prophet says, your children will be taught by the Lord. So teachers do the work of God. And then there's housework. We all need to clean our houses. You can either pay someone else to do it or you can do it yourself, but you have to clean your house. If you don't clean your house, you'll eventually get ill. That's what happens. If you don't clean it, you and everyone who lives in that house will eventually get ill. So housework is pretty important work, isn't it? And yet we refer to that work as a chore. But not Martin Luther. He would say that cleaners, as well as doctors and nurses and policemen and teachers and farmers, they are the fingers of God, because God cares for his creation through human labor. But you know, having said all that, we can't deny that sometimes work can be frustrating. Sometimes our labor feels like toil, doesn't it? Well, in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 19, the writer says that the way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a clear highway. The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a clear highway. I've always found it interesting who is compared with the sluggard here. The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, so you might expect it to be the ant, or the hard-working person, or the diligent person whose path is clear. But that's not the case. The writer says it is the upright person. It's the righteous person whose path is clear. But then that doesn't seem to leave us with much hope, does it? Because as the psalmist says, if you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand? There wouldn't be one of us that could be considered righteous. There wouldn't be one of us that could be considered upright if we were just relying on our own work. If we were just relying on our own efforts, well, when the writer says the way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, it's really the word thorns that's key here. Because after Adam and Eve sin in the Garden of Eden, after they turn their back on God, after they reject his word, after they reject his instruction, we read in Genesis chapter 3 that God said to Adam, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns for you." And I'm sure that we can all testify to that. But do you remember what happened to Jesus just before he was crucified? We're told that the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and drove it on top of his head. A crown of thorns. The very picture of the curse, the very sign of the curse was what was on Jesus' head as he hung on the cross. And it was the Apostle Paul who said, "God made him who knew no sin to be sin for our sake, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." You see, folks, Jesus took the thorns that we deserved so that we might have the clear path that he deserved, the way of the upright. And the Bible says that that is our only hope in this cursed world. And so there will continue to be times when our work is painful toil. There will continue to be times when our work frustrates us. We'll continue to come across the thorns, as it were. But these times should be a reminder to us of the fact that because of the work of Jesus on the cross, we can look forward to a day when there will be no more painful toil. That's a great thought, isn't it? But you know, let me just finish by saying that for some people here, there's no danger of you ever being likened to the sluggard. No one is ever going to call you a sluggard. Your problem might be the exact opposite. Your problem might be that you work too hard. Well, you need to be reminded that just in the same way that work is a good thing, rest is a good thing. Rest is a good thing, and it's needed so that we can be refreshed. Some people spend their lives working away because I think they find a sense of purpose in their work. They find a sense of identity in their work. And it's not just in our job. Some people, in a spiritual sense, spend their life very busy trying to do good works. But Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And you know, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees here. And believe me, they knew how to work hard. They spent their lives working hard, trying to earn their own salvation. But Jesus says, "No, trust in me and I will give you rest." But I've always found it really interesting that Jesus goes on to say, "And take my yoke upon you." You see that? Jesus doesn't call us to give up working, but he calls us instead to start working for him. And I think we see something of that when Paul writes to the Colossians and he says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for man." So, folks, whether you're a doctor or a teacher or a businessman or a vicar or a cleaner or whatever projects you're involved in your retirement, remember to work hard for the Lord. Remember that work is a good thing. Remember the value of your work. It might just be that you are the fingers of God. And remember that rest is a good thing. But when your work frustrates you, and it will, in times of toil, remember what the Lord has done for us. That he took the thorns that we might know the clear path of the upright. May God bless his word to us. Amen.